before. 1953, a few miles outside of Detroit. They gather. The snow is falling. The heavy kind of snow that you know will form on the ground, so in the morning there will be yards full of snowmen and children of all ages running about, catching unsuspecting adults off guard with wadded up balls of snow. But not now. Not in this place. This is a meeting. A very important meeting. The very fate of Detroit relies on what takes place here tonight. The cars are all facing one another, three in total, with the absence of Manfred Van Johnson. The city appears to be up for grabs for any gangster wanting to make some easy dough. Thus, the meeting has been set. The fate is still unsure. In attendance is Nosy No-Nose McGregor. He rose to the top of his crime family slowly. Beginning in the depressing 20s, he started working for the boys in Chicago, running bootleg. Then there was an overthrow, and he rapidly moved up the ranks inside La Costa Nostra until he became the underboss of Tony Esposito. Then the opportunity arose in the mid-40s, and he took out his boss. Then he became the power of the family. But now he stands in the freezing cold, shivering with the other bosses.
"It's Christmas Eve. What are we doing here, yous mooks?"
he asks, trying to keep his teeth from chattering. Next is Rocky the Influenced Stalin, a tough mug that fought his way to the top of his outfit. He mostly works street-level crimes, dealing mainly in drugs and alcohol distribution.
"Look, yous mugs, we gonna figure this out tonight or ain't nobody going home."
And then there's Big Boy Foster. He runs most of the crime outside of Detroit. He's an imposing figure. He stands 6'9" tall, always dressed immaculately. Walks with a gold walking stick and almost never smiles. When he speaks, it is more of a growl than a speech.
"Manny's finally gone. At least that we can all agree on. No. Now all that's left is lips, and he doesn't have the firepower to stop even one of us. He's just a weekend schlemiel."
"Hey, what about Vinny? He's still out there,"
asks Nosy.
"Vinny is a whack job. He might sit in Manny's chair, but he ain't nothing. Just a low-life dummkopf,"
interjected Influence.
"A what?"
"Moron."
"Well, whack job or not, he got rid of Manny, and Manny got rid of the Greektown boys. That leaves Detroit wide open,"
Nosy said.
"We need to work together in order to get inside. Every low-life mug in that city will want a piece of the action. We need to slip in and take it," added Foster.
"Well, big man, how are we gonna do that?"
asked Nosy.
"We have the firepower. We hit everyone. But we do it together. See?"
"Together? But whose boys does the actual hit?"
Nosy pressed.
"We're getting to that, Nose. That's why we're here in this freaking freezing weather. Freezing our gonads off."
Then, for a moment, there was silence. But only for a moment. The moon hung over the still water as the wind blew a gentle cold breeze across the lake. With it, the flurries of the heavy wet flakes danced around the men. Then the silence was broken. Flashes of light lit up the small area. Bosses and their help reached for guns, but it was no use. Their standing inside their respective families gave them no advantage over the dark and gloomy figure that is called death. It hungrily claimed each and every one as the machine gun fire tore through their cars. It tore through their bodyguards, and the bullets ripped through the bosses, tearing chunks of flesh and organs. Then the silence resumed once more. The stillness had sent already cold night even colder. And in only a few seconds, the water below began to turn crimson. Two men from the shadows. One of the men walked to where Big Boy Foster was laying. He was gasping, trying desperately to suck air into his lungs.
"Tough to breathe with holes in you like that, ain't it?"
"Nobody is taking Lips Town away."
He knelt down for a closer look at the dying man.
"You ready to die, old-timer? You believe in anything? Well, everybody's gotta believe in something. As for me, I believe I will go and have another beer."
He then stood and lifted the Thompson and fired it off into Foster's face. The gun-toting man smiled. He looked up to the shadows of the men that were there, shielded behind the headlamps of the cars.
"Let's go, boys. We have a few more stops to make, and then we can go home and let the kiddies open presents."
And as quickly as they came, they were gone, leaving behind a legacy of death. The scattered bodies would not be found for days, but still, the snow falls and the water beats the shoreline. The night is still once more, and the silhouettes of the murderers are all that is left behind.